What is going on, South Carolina and all the ships at sea? How are you today, producer Ramona?
I'm good. How are you, Walt?
It's a heavy, heavy police day. I'm just giving you a little warning, okay? Police, sheriff, absolutely everywhere. I saw them absolutely, I mean everywhere. Like, they seem like they're every 100 or 200 feet. So, be careful. It's not the end of the month, is it? What's the date?
The 18th.
The 18th. We're not at the end of the month yet.
No, we're not.
But for some reason, trust me when I tell you, it is a heavy, heavy, heavy police day. I don't think I've ever seen as many police out as I did today.
A lot of them, huh?
Everywhere. Absolutely everywhere.
I saw one.
One?
Yeah.
On the other side. Literally saw 100.
You saw 100. There must have been something going on.
All the way, my entire drive, like every 100 and 200 feet, the entire drive. Different departments, no relation, not looking for anybody, just that's the way it was. So be warned, absolutely everywhere for some reason. All right, Ramona. The WNBA, right?
Yes.
Every time you think this thing cannot get worse, they once again pour more gasoline on it and make it somehow worse than it was the day before. And they have once again done this because it wasn't enough that they couldn't identify what a woman was. It wasn't
Correct.
Enough that they had assembled a task force that they had to walk away from. They had to postpone it. They had to push it down the road. They had to kick the can down the road because the task force could not decide what 2X chromosomes were.
Yes, I remember.
So the task force disbanded without any result as to what constitutes a woman. Again, in a league that the hint is right in the title, the WNBA. Right in the title.
Yes.
It wasn't enough. Now, you know, we want to think about it this way, okay? Because it's roughly the same thing. This is, for example, this would be like the Westminster Kennel Club having a task force to decide what constitutes a dog. And then, because there's a little unclarity, there's a little lack of clarity, let's say. Because of that little lack of clarity, they are trying to decide whether they should allow cats in the dog show.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're
trying
saying.
To allow cats.
Yes.
Trying to say whether to allow cats in the Westminster Kennel dog show.
The dog show.
Right. They're
yes.
not sure. So it would be like them ending the meeting without a conclusion, even though the season's being played right now, and eventually there's going to be a WNBA draft. So the other night, you had two women who went to the Atlanta game and paid $1,000 a seat. Mom anteed up for $1,000 a seat so they could go to this basketball game. They wore shirts that said XX chromosomes, that identifying yeah. them as women.
Yeah.
They were confronted by security who told them that you are either going to have to leave or you're going to have to cover up those shirts, which is, again, one of the most ridiculous things I have ever heard in my life, but that's what happened. So you think, okay, that little episode is over, right? The WNBA came out and said this. They said that should not have happened. The WNBA came out and specifically said
that they shouldn't have that, or they got kicked out.
Right,
happen.
Right. They should not have been confronted about those shirts.
Right.
That should not have happened.
Okay.
So you thought, okay, finally the WNBA is taking a stand on something, right?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like that.
Wrong. Because Atlanta came out in response and said, We didn't have anything to do with that. That was 100% a WNBA initiative. So Atlanta is now, they're now adding more fuel because they are saying the WNBA flat out lied about it.
Really?
Yep. That's where we are. That's where we are. As of,
so they're going to say, they're going to do it, and then they're going to say they didn't do
right.
it.
Right. Apparently, they thought Atlanta would just stand down. Atlanta said, oh, no, hell no. You're
Why
not blaming us for that.
No, of course not. That's ridiculous.
So that's where we are. Another day, another WNBA saga, and now the WNBA being accused of lying by one of their member institutions.
So what? Where does it go?
Apparently,
from here
nobody
now?
Kicked these two women out. Nobody. Say again.
I said, now what?
By the way, I heard those two women interviewed last night, and they said the security guard really wanted no part of this, that he was just being told to do it.
To kick him out.
Right. So that's what they
said. Well, that was nice of him to say, look.
Yeah. In any case, that's
still,
that's where we are, and each day brings new madness from a WNBA standpoint. They cannot, they just don't understand the word hush. Just stop talking. Stop talking. Stop doing stupid things. You know? Again, you can't throw patrons who are paying $1,000 a ticket out. Again, I swear to God, there's like a certain level to madness that you just cannot accept. I mean, again, I'm sitting there with those people, and these people come up to me and say, oh, you're going to have to leave or change your shirts because of the double X chromosomes. You are in trouble. I'll tell you right now, because there is no way I am surrendering or backing down to that. You can just go blank yourself.
So were they were in their seats already, right?
Yeah.
How did they even notice it?
Allegedly a trans person told on them. And they were worried about offending that person. But again, the WNBA said it wasn't us. The WNBA said, yes, it wasn't us. They said that should not have happened, and they blamed Atlanta. And Atlanta came out in response and said, oh, no, don't blame us. It wasn't us. It was you. You talk about a rudderless ship.
I'm telling you.
There you have it.
Nobody wants to take responsibility for what they supposedly want to uphold.
No, it's an absolute disaster. We have lots to get to in the world of college football today. You know, I saw a couple things today on Twitter about Clemson's wide receivers and ranking Clemson's wide receivers and ranking that room. Now, Ramona, I think it was when you were away that I did my wide receiver list. So we have a problem because I'm pretty sure. Was that?
I don't think so. I think.
You
are
were here?
You sure?
I don't know. Were you here the day that William Cockerell and I did the wide receivers?
I think so.
It's not a trick question.
No, but I do have to think about it to see if it's, I have it. I think I was here.
Okay, so
it
do
should
you,
be posted.
Okay, so do you have my wide receiver list?
Not right in front of me, but
no,
I have it.
Okay, that's what I'm asking you. Yeah. Can you let's try a different way? Can you locate my wide receiver list?
Yeah.
Good. All right, because I want to talk a little bit about wide receivers. We talk a lot of college football today, as we do every day. You can get in if you want, 654-7627, 654-7627 to join the conversation. Let's see. What do you have people talking about the police matter? Texas said, Walt's not lying. I saw some at interesting places by Tri-County come back to Anderson today. Yeah, I'm telling you. All over today. Texas said, as you say it, I'm across the intersection from one. See? I'm telling you, there. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
You don't think something happened?
No, nothing happened. It's all different places. They're looking for speeders. It must be like a national catch a speeder day.
Maybe they've been busy for a while and they need some money.
Maybe they've not been busy enough and they need some money. Maybe they need to get busy. Maybe the end of the month's coming and we're not meeting payroll. I don't know. I'm not sure. Dick said, Sean in Simpsonville, I'm with you. I wouldn't go quietly, but do you think that all those tickets, it says something to the effect of anyone can be asked to leave? No, because again, all parties are denying responsibility for it. They're all saying it was the wrong thing to do. So no, I think that that's just the way it is. And they're, but yeah, I mean, look, there are just certain things in life you cannot back down from. I mean, there was a time I had an issue with airport cargo, and you know, they threatened to call security on me, and I made different threats to them. And they made changes the next day. It's a long story. I can't tell all that story right now. But the individual I had trouble with ceased to work for them the next day.
Ah.
Because I knew people who, you know, knew people. And I just wasn't putting up with any of that nonsense. I mean, just ridiculous craziness, you know. I actually, at the time, I had shipped something, and I knew what the cost was. I knew what the exact cost was, down to like the penny. And you had Mr. Newbie there who wanted to charge me five times what the cost was. And it, none of that was going to happen. But yeah, like this thing. Mac says it's National Donut Day. Every day is National Donut Day, Mac. Every day is National Donut Day. We're Krispy Kreme.
National Donut Day?
Every day is National Donut Day. By the way, did you bring me another donut?
No.
Well, you said you were going to bring me another donut.
I asked you like four times.
Ravonna brought me a donut yesterday, but as soon as I picked it up, it fell on the floor. It broke. It broke. I was left with like a little, like when I left, I said, thanks for the quarter donut, Ravonna. It wasn't her fault. It's just I picked up the donut out of the thing. I took like two steps. I took one bite, and the rest of it fell on the ground.
Well, I asked you like four times if you wanted it. No.
By the way, do you know that they're actually, I've read recently there actually is no 3-second rule or 5-second rule or 7-second.
No, you didn't have to tell me that.
Yeah, it's all false.
Yeah, I'm not eating some off the floor. I don't care how
now,
many
this
seconds.
Place is pretty clean, you know. Hennessy.
It's clean, but yeah. That doesn't mean you got to eat off it.
Yeah, well, again, there used to be this 3-5-7-second rule, yeah, but apparently.
Yeah, I'm not falling
yeah.
for that.
Yeah, well, apparently it's not a real
no.
thing. Yeah, basically they say no. As soon as it hits the ground, it can have whatever.
Yeah,
whatever's on the ground.
Well,
nature.
Seeing as you have stuff on your face and your eyelids and everything, you know, you don't want to add to it.
Huh? What?
The little creatures that you showed me that are supposedly on my
not
face.
Not me. No, not me. That was what's his name there? He had a problem that he admitted to that he had mites on his eyelashes. There's a technical name for that,
yeah,
but it's not good.
Yeah.
So you need mites on your eyelashes treatment. Yeah.
That's gross.
Eyes shut when you get up because they're sealed because
ew,
the mites on your eyelashes.
I tried to forget that.
Cena.
I appreciate
that. It was Cena.
It
was Cena telling that story.
I appreciate you bringing that to my attention because I can't unknow that.
Dexter said, we got to make the 5-second rule now. So Jaden Daniels. Dexter said it's National Fajita Day. Ice cream pie and Pinot Noir Day. How about that? Well, I don't like that. I mean, if I'm going to drink wine, I only drink red wine. I only drink specific red wine, no less. Donuts, I'll eat any donut, though. Any Krispy Kreme donut, I will eat. So if it's National Donut Day, is no one bringing us donuts on National Donut Day, Ramon?
I don't guess so.
What's happened to John? John was our go-to. We may need new go-to.
He's our donut fix.
All right, we have lots to get to. You want to get in, 654-7627.
The countdown is on. Is on. 18 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles.
Ingles. Low prices.
Love the savings.
Snap, hold, kick on its way. Got the distance. Does it have the accuracy?
He hit it. He hit it. He's got it.
It's a 56-yard field goal to send Clemson to the playoffs.
105.5.
97.5.
The Roar, where every day is game day. The MLB lives here.
That ball is gone.
The Roar.
Recurring drain issues could be more than a clog. It could be your sewer line. Older homes, especially in established neighborhoods with big trees, often have failing pipes underground. The good news? There's a faster, more cost-effective solution with no digging. With One Tom Plumber's one-day sewer line repair, replacement, or lining, you can fix the problem before it becomes a disaster. Right now, get a free line inspection and don't wait for a sewer backup. Call One Tom Plumber. The name is the number one, Tom Plumber.
We are here with Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. Eric, anything to prevent pine beetles?
The most important thing.
Conversation. I do want to talk a little bit about Clemson receivers and receivers nationally. We're going to rehash some of our stuff. We're going to rehash the quarterback list, the ACC list, SEC, national list, all of it. We're going to rehash some of that stuff with college football season about to begin, stuff that we did in most cases months ago. So it's going to be heavy college football conversation. And if you want in on it, you can do so. I think you know that this is where you go in terms of analysis and all that stuff. So you can get in 654-7627, 654-7627. To join the conversation. Also, Ramona, I want to bring up that thing we brought up the other day about the conversation we had with Jason Priester. And I think that you have that.
Oh, yeah.
That conversation.
All right, hang on.
Know? All right.
Hang on a minute. I have to get that.
This was further back than I was aware of. I mean, much further back, actually. I have no sense of time when it comes to, like, when I did something. Like, for example, I thought that the Jason Priester stuff was, like, 2 weeks ago. But apparently it was back at the end of June or something. So
the 2nd of July.
2nd of July. Okay, that's sort of end of June. And that's when we had this conversation. So this was about Malpress. I had studied the film that night. I brought Jason on to talk about the entire class and to give his views on each player. And we went sort of player by player. And this was the conversation that I had with Jason Priester about Malpress. The guy really wasn't getting the type of attention that other guys in the class were seemingly receiving. All right, the next guy on my list, Jason, and I'm going to let you go first, is Desmond Malpress, the edge.
Yeah, another guy that's going to need to be in the crock pot. I think he's 6'3". I think he's less than 220 pounds right now, so he's definitely going to need some bulk. Another one of those guys that ranks at the in the top 25 of his position by at least one of the services. Might have been two, if I can't remember off the top of my head. But, there's a lot to like about him, but I just don't see him coming in and not being one of those guys that makes an impact in year one, maybe not year two. It just depends on how long it takes him in the weight room. But he can get after the quarterback, man. We'll see how long it takes that to translate at the next level, though.
All right. I was going to tell you, I saw some little video of somebody talking about him, and it was sort of almost, I don't want to say negative sounding, but it wasn't necessarily positive sounding. I love Desmond Malpress. Love. Like, he may be my favorite player in this class. I think he is super friggin' explosive. He is dynamic. He's aggressive. He's super physical for his size. He converts speed to power. He has dip bend. He has ankle flexion. I think he's a pass rushing fool. I am incredibly high on Desmond Malpress. He jumps right off the page at me. I'm not worried about his weight. I'm not worried about any of that, Jason. Is it going to take some time for him to assimilate some weight? It will. But this dude ran a 10.6 100 meter.
That's
see now I hadn't even seen that. So
yeah, that's friggin' flying, and you can see that speed. There are no. I watch all the tackle matchups, and there is no tackle who handled them. He just and he beat them in a whole assortment of ways. Like I said, he has dip, bend, he has ankle flexion. He beat some of them with just raw power. He converts speed to power because he's so explosive off the snap. And many times he just blows by these guys. He's also willing to take an inside rush. He's not one of these guys who's looking to take a nine rush every time and just go to the outside. He's physical at his size, and he's super aggressive. I am immensely high on Desmond Malpress. I think he is a future Clemson superstar. Go ahead.
I was going to say he's extremely quick off the edge, and he's a lot more polished than Santana Harvey is.
Yeah, I think way more. And again, I think it's just – plus, I just think he's a different level athlete. The second I saw him, the first time I put his film in last night, it's probably 2 a.m., Jason. It's like 2 a.m., 2:30, and you know, my eyes are like, you know, okay, they're starting to run together a little bit. And then I popped his film on, and I'm like, whoa, this is the dude. I cannot wait to see this guy mature physically at Clemson because I think Clemson has – I think he may be the best player in the class. That's how high I am on him.
Some hot praise there now.
I am really, really optimistic about.
So that's what we said about Malpress. That was my view on him, and he has obviously jumped out as I would have expected. So you listen to the show, you're generally the first to know. And that was a conversation I had with Jason Priester on what are you saying, July 2nd.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have the wide receiver rankings?
Yes.
Okay. And explain it to me. So what do we have? The top 25 nationally? Is that what I did?
Yes.
Okay. So you were here for that?
Yes. We did it on the Friday before I left.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes more sense. Yeah. Because we would have needed you here for it if we wanted to...
Post it.
All right. Let's first take a look at that group of wide receivers, and then we'll have some discussion about it in a little bit.
All right. Am I just reading them?
Well, no, we're going to go from 25 up.
Okay. Tanook Hines at USC and Amari Thomas at Houston.
Okay, so I had a tie at 25, as is usually the case. Yeah. Again, I think USC has lots of weapons. Maiva, the run game, two running backs that are both in my top 25 running backs. And so I think Hines could be a big factor for them. Thomas is already a factor at Houston, had a 900-yard season a year ago.
24 is Terrell Anderson at USC.
The NC State transfer, I'm pretty optimistic about him. A little bigger body. I think he's going to be USC's number one outside receiver. And so I think he's headed for a 1,000-yard type year. I think pretty highly of USC this year. My only concern is that schedule, which I think is going to be really difficult.
23 is Cam Perry at Colorado.
I like the Colorado receivers. Perry is a transfer. He was a 1,000-yard receiver last year. He led the nation in yards per catch. I think he averaged like 22 yards a catch last year. So he clearly has some juice. And I think both Colorado transfer receivers are big-time players. You know, Colorado is a really difficult schedule, and this is supposed to be a down year for them, and it probably is going to be, but they do have juice at receiver. There's no question about that. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting team to watch, a team that could exceed what the expectations are. The expectations are like nothing. And, again, the schedule is very difficult, so that's going to be a little bit of a problem, so we'll see.
Okay, 22 is Nick with a Y, Harbor, at South Carolina.
Oh, Ramona, getting the little Y blast on and the Harbor family for not being able to spell Nicholas.
Yeah, yeah. What can I say?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure this is high enough when all is said and done. I just think he's such a freak, and he had 600 yards receiving last year. I think he takes a big jump this year. I think he goes over 1,000 and becomes a bigger impact player. And now with Sellers losing his brother, I think it puts even more of the focus on Harbor. Although they've got some dudes. We'll see.
21 is Chris Henry at Ohio State.
Yeah. Henry's the five-star receiver. He's 6'5". He's a problem. He's a problem right out of the box. I mean, Ohio State just grows him. I know there was some conversation in places on social media about the Clemson receiving room and where does it rank. You know, with sort of the suggestion by some that it could be the nation's best, I'm not ready to do that, in part because the receivers are dependent on the quarterback, and the quarterback is a question. And we the closer we get to the season, the more we want to ignore the quarterback, but it's still a concern. I don't know what the answer is to it. I mean, is Christopher Vezina going to be great? I don't know. Maybe. This is not a lot to go on. And I do have concerns about a quarterback room that has one start in the entire room. That's a concern. You can tell me anything you want. That's a concern.
20 is Nick Marsh, Indiana.
The transfer from Michigan State, he could be higher than this. I'm a little – the reason I have him as low as I do is I think his explosiveness is what's at question. I think he's a lot like Surratt, the prior receiver that Indiana had, and so he's going to be good for them. I mean, there's no question about it. And he's going to have a good statistical season. But I think he lacks a little juice. He's not the most explosive guy in the world, but neither was Surratt.
Let's see. 19 is Cooper Barkate at Miami.
Yeah. Barkate was the former Harvard receiver who went to Duke and became Mensa's favorite target and his security blanket. Now he follows Mensa to Miami, which I think is really good news for Mensa and good news for Miami. Barkate is interesting. He's like a little bigger Hunter Renfro, if you can think that. He's smart. I mean, he turns guys every which way but loose with a lot of tricks, sort of like professional tricks of the trade, and he manages to get himself open. Even though I don't think he's the most explosive person in the world, he does have short area quickness, which is good. It means he can change directions. It's another reason he's hard to defend. But he has a unique way of being open, and Mensa finds him.
Let's see. The next one is Wyatt Young at Oklahoma State.
Let's hold that thought. Let me tell you about Lake Kiwi. Hey, listen, Lake Kiwi Ford, Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram are having a summer clearance sale. So if you've been thinking about upgrading that ride, now is the time. Because all vehicles, both new and pre-owned, are clearance price. And when Lake Kiwi Ford, Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram say clearance prices, they mean it. I'm talking up to $15,000 off brand new trucks. Just 15 grand. That's not a typo, my friends. That's a game changer. If you've had your eye on a new F-150 or maybe a Ram, Lake Kiwi has a whole lineup ready to go. If you're on the fence, test drive both. Do a side by side. Figure out which one fits your needs best. And look, it's not just new. They've got a ton of low mileage, one owner, pre-owned trucks too. Over 600 vehicles on the lot, all priced, all clearance price, all ready for delivery. Here's the kicker. Buy now, you get zero payments for 90 days, plus attractive financing. Fact is, with the discounts and deals available, I bet Lake Kiwi can put you in a new ride lower than your current payment. Lower! So get there now before the vehicle you want gets sold. With discounts this big, they're not going to sit around. Head to Lake Kiwi Ford, Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson. Shop online anytime at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. You will 100% thank me later.
The Anderson Area Touchdown Club is celebrating their 45th football season kickoff with Facts on Sport, broadcasting live on Friday, August 21st from 9 to noon at the Anderson Institute of Technology campus at 315 Pyramid Dairy Road in Anderson. Facts in will interview
Happy Valley, and you know, and as far as why they're ranked, I think it's twofold. One, they have a super experienced quarterback in Rocco Beck, and two, you know, they have a very manageable Big Ten year one Matt Campbell schedule. So I think that benefits them too. So I think that would be the why. You know, I rank Penn State. I rank both teams. I mean, we have to look at the AP poll. We didn't get a chance to do that yesterday. We ran out of time. We will get to that. All right, Ramona, let's get back to this and back to the wide receiver list. This is our wide receiver list from, I guess, before Ramona went on vacation.
August 7th.
Okay. We get a chance to really discuss this in depth. I talked about it with William Cockrell when we each gave our rankings, but I wanted to get into it. And more specifically, I want to talk about Clemson's wide receiving room and what that could be. How good can that group be? You can get in 654-7627, 654-7627. All right, what do you have?
Okay, we were at White Young, Oklahoma State.
Yeah, again, he's a part of these transfer situation, these team, semi-team transfers where he went from North Texas to Oklahoma State. I think he's really good. I think he's gonna cause a lot of problems. He's still going to be Mestemaker's favorite target, and so he's going to put up big numbers. There's no question about it. Not to mention the fact I don't think their defense is going to be very good, so they're going to have to put up big numbers. They're going to have to outscore people.
Okay, the 17 is Ryan Williams of Alabama.
I don't know what to do with Ryan Williams. You know, he ran like a 10-4 500 meter in high school as a freshman. He really jumped off the screen, jumped off the page. Lots of flash plays. There were some issues, but lots of flash plays. He actually looked a little Lynn Swanish as a freshman. However, it all went away last year. He's like the wide receiver version of Sam Leavitt. I don't know what you make of it. I really don't. I think he led the nation in drops. You'd have to look that up statistically, but he dropped pass after pass after pass after pass. He spent a lot of time on the sideline as a result of that, next to the coaching staff. So I don't know what you make of him at this point. I think the jury is out on Ryan Williams. Let me get to Mike in Anderson on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line. Mike.
Can I ask a college football question, please?
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
It's Walt. Walter. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
Good. Appreciate you getting in, as always.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you getting me in. Walter, I had to call and eat some crow, even though I didn't make the comment on your show. And I'll call Ben and Clark tomorrow and do the same thing. I made some really, really somewhat stupid comments about Kurt Cignetti today. And it's based on not having all the facts. And I just don't like Kurt Cignetti. I think he is a bit overrated. My reasoning for that is what did he ever do before the NIL era? And then Ben correctly pointed out, and again, I made an A of myself, what a great record he had. I think he's lost 37 games in 15 seasons, I believe. Now, I did know that Cignetti had a good record, but I thought he was like it was all at places like, even though he didn't coach there, like Georgia Southern and blah, blah, blah. And again, Ben having pointed out that I was wrong, tell me why I am so wrong on Cignetti. And my point would be, even though he has accomplished a national championship, two playoff seasons in a row, prior to NIL, did he have any elite accomplishments before then? And am I being unfair?
Well, This is a sort of a complicated issue, Mike. I think that one thing we all have to recognize is the time period by which the SEC, we act like NIL is a new thing, okay? What's new is the legal NIL. Okay. NIL, in a sense, has always gone on. It just wasn't legal. The SEC benefited from banning players forever and hence dominated college football as a part of that.
Okay, true.
And so now the wealth has sort of been spread out. So the SEC's dominance has been reduced and other places can win now. But to still do what he did at Indiana, where he's not operating on the budget that you know Texas is and Ohio State is and these other schools are, he has not had that luxury to win the national championship and to beat the murderer's row of teams that they beat and the way they beat them. You know, and you listen to him and you see his attention to detail and his belief in physicality and really what they did even to some historic programs. I know Alabama's not Alabama, but they treated Alabama like Nick Saban was the coach. And, of course, he coached under Saban. I think the guy has waited a long time for this opportunity. You know, he got there, he said, if you don't know who I am, Google me based on his record. I think great coaching, Mike, goes on at every level. And sometimes the greatest coaches don't get opportunities that some of these other guys do that they rehash and they bring back time and time again. I think this guy has truly had success now on every single level. And so I do think it speaks highly to who he is. And when you listen to him, I think it becomes really understandable. This is a guy who is in 100% total control. He is in control of every single element. And
I would agree with that.
And he believes in a physical nature of football that other people just aren't meeting. They're not meeting. And, you know, he hasn't. It's funny because a lot of the players that he brought in were not necessarily guys that the rest of the world wanted. You know, when he came to Indiana, he brought in a bunch of James Madison transfers. Well, he wasn't competing against other people for those guys. I mean, the world wasn't all that interested in the James Madison players. And even now, you know, he loses his running backs from last year. So one of the guys he goes and gets is Turbo Richards from Boston College. Well, I've been an advocate of him, but no one else has, of Turbo, I'm talking about. And I don't think there was a lot of competition for him. But he went out and got the exact same kind of guy that he had last year. And these guys are physical, tough, between-the-tackle runners. You know, he was asked about Hoover, the new quarterback, because Mendoza obviously won the Heisman Trophy last year. And he was asked about Hoover and his transition and what type of success he would have. And his answer was, he's going to be great, just like Mendoza. He said, because we're not going to throw it 65% of the time like he did at TCU. He said, we're going to run it 60% of the time, which takes the pressure off the quarterback. He said, so just like Mendoza, he's going to have a lot of success. In other words, what he's doing is he's saying the quarterback here is important, but it's not the only thing. He said, you know, we're going to build all the component parts around the quarterback to make sure that this guy has success. In other words, the offensive line and that run game. And that's where they really make their money, that offensive line and run game. And I'll tell you, Mike, that offensive line is going to be really good, and I would expect that run game to be really good again.
Pretty good. All right, well, much like the Tom Brady thing, when you first started your show, you've just you've made me feel dumber even than Ben did.
None of that's the intent, Mike. You know,
no, sir.
I heard a little bit of that. I couldn't quite get what was the Ryan Day part.
Oh, The Athletic, and I'll hang up and listen to you on this one. The Athletic did a story yesterday or today, and they were naming top coaches, and the headline was the coaching hierarchy or something. There's Kurt Cignetti, there's Kirby Smart, and then everybody else. How do you leave Ryan Day out of that and some other great coaches in I really didn't understand that one. But because I sounded so stupid on taking shots at Kurt Cignetti, I didn't push that, and I will just listen to your
That's
comments.
Funny, Mike.
As always, I enjoy the show.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Ryan Day is absolutely on the top tier of national college football coaches, without question. How anyone would argue that at this point is beyond me. So I think you're all over it, Mike. I think Ryan Day 100% belongs in that mix. I think he's truly elite. You know, look, he's already won national championship, and quite honestly, he should have won two. Had Marvin Harrison not been injured in the Georgia game, he would have two national championships and Smart would have won. And no one can deny that. Every Georgia fan will admit to that. I mean, Ohio State was up by 20. They were actually blowing Georgia off the field. And Georgia had no answers. I mean, Georgia's own announcer had given up. He had surrendered. He said, they're getting 10 yards on every play. He said, there's nothing we can do about it. This is at the end of the third quarter when Harrison took that hit and knocked him out of the game, and it changed the game. Now, that's part of football, and we know that. And that's not going to be written up in the history. It's going to say Georgia. But for people who have hearts and minds wide open, Ryan Day should already have two national championships. And he'll win more. If he decides to stay at Ohio State, he'll win more. Heck, they're number one in the AP poll. They're going to be in this mix every single year. I think Day is a brilliant guy. I mean, I think he's a brilliant offensive mind, and I think he's a brilliant guy. So to not have Ryan Day in that mix, I think is utterly ridiculous. And quite honestly, I mean, what would be the basis you have Kirby Smart there now if you're not going to have Day there? I mean, Day's won a national championship since Smart did. And Smart, the last 3 years, Georgia looks like they are in a little bit of a decline. So, I mean, if you're just going to base it on a snapshot of the moment, then the only guy you would have there is Cignetti, which I think is sort of ridiculous. I mean, I think Tier 1 has to be bigger than that. Now, again, I don't know if these are power rankings. I don't know what their real premise or guideline was in terms of putting this list together. I'm not entirely sure about that. And so I don't know what we're really working with or talking about here. But to me, I think if you're talking about the top tiers and top tier of coaches in college football, I think Dabo Swinney is still on that tier too. I don't think you can ignore what he's done. The last couple of years has been a little decline. Yeah, there has at Georgia too. And maybe that's the way college football is going to go from now on. It's going to be harder than ever to win. I know that. We'll be back.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
And family are coming over to your place for the next big game. Everything has to be right, so when your comfort and reputation are on the line, don't leave it to chance. Bring in the experts in the bold white and blue trucks. Visit acehomeco.com for all your plumbing, HVAC, and electrical needs.
The games may end, but the opinions never stop.
You're totally off base on this.
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
Every great project starts with a vision, a statement, a standard. At Best Buy Metals, we design metal roofing and siding that turn bold ideas into reality. When metal looks this good, it doesn't just cover a home, it elevates it. Designed and crafted to stand out before it ever has to stand up. This is where possibility begins. Visit us on Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greer or get inspired at BestBuyMetalRoof.com. Best Buy Metals, designed to inspire, made to protect, driven to serve.
If your fleet trucks are pulling to one side, wearing tires unevenly, or costing you more at the pump, it's time for a professional alignment from Skinner Tire. Skinner Tire specializes in commercial truck alignments and fleet tire service that helps extend tire life, improve fuel economy, and keep your truck safely on the road. From one truck to an entire fleet, trust the pros at Skinner Tire in Spartanburg. Visit SkinnerTires.com. That's SkinnerTires.com. Skinner Tire. Keep your fleet rolling.
Another year of college football is here, and there's no better place to enjoy your favorite teams than Reuben's, with locations in Powdersville and Greenville. Both venues feature all the great college games every week with great food and drinks. Check them out online for the latest in live music, and be sure to get your to-go orders in early for game day and tailgating. Reuben's, on the Parkway in Greenville and Highway 81 in Powdersville. Reuben's, good times gather here.
In the game of home ownership, don't let a power outage bench your home's defense. This is Jim Clouk, host of the Checka Pro Radio Show. This week, I'm joined by Steve from Never Dark Generators. We're huddling up to discuss how you can keep your lights, your AC, and your big screen running no matter what the weather throws at you. Don't get left in the dark. Get the winning play for reliable backup power. Join us this and every Sunday morning at 11, right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
When life hits hard, you need someone who doesn't punt. I'm Trey Mills with the Tramlin Mills Law Firm. Insurance company dragging its feet after a wreck or work injury? We go for it every time. No field goals, no fair catches. You call us and we bring the heat. Go big or go home. Visit us at TramlinMills.com or call 864-485-8585. Fourth and inches, we go for it.
Clemson fans, whether you are buying or selling a house or just protecting your home as a future investment, you need a contractor you can truly trust. At Crawl Space Medic, we are locally owned by a Clemson engineer.